Hello and welcome to Levin Lordship Live. My name is Greg Williams, and sorry for the delay, but we'll see what it's like right in the middle of the noon and lunch hour here on Friday and see how you respond. Thank you for joining us, for sharing it, and appreciate your prayers and support and encouragement. Now, don't forget, the book, we were just talking about it, my good friend and tech guy and marketing and ad guy, Jeff Hancock, were talking about the fact that we're getting on the verge. My wife just got the final version to give a last edit on last night. And so she's hopefully going to be through that this weekend, and then we begin to look putting it out on the digital platform. So please be praying for that. Along with that, we've got a conference coming up October 23rd and 24th. I'll have the links in the comments, but we hope to have the digital version out, the conference, and we ask you to pray about it and share this. For $35, you can stream it to your whole church, to your whole group, whatever you want, your family, a small group in your home or in a gathering. So take advantage of that, and please let us know what you think. And more than anything, we say praise the Lord, and please pray. The print version, we are working on that to hopefully have that in by Thanksgiving, and that would be great Christmas and holiday wedding gifts at this point. So just food for thought. Appreciate your prayers more than anything. You know, there are numerous posts, podcasts, and videos and books on practical skill tips for relationships and marriage. What I want to do is share with you some foundational tips that will help you be able to carry out and sustain those practical skills and tips for relationships and marriage. These all come from what we've been sharing. If you go back to www.loveandlordship.com, you'll find numerous articles and videos and podcasts that lay the foundations for all this. And now we're going to specifically apply them to marriage. Because here's what we've been talking about. Here's where they come from. We've been sharing all along about real love, not the world's kind, real lordship and authority that comes from the author, not the world's kind, which we see far too often in our even Christian relationships and churches, and our relationship with Christ and then with others. If we are walking in that as a follower of Christ, then it should be showing up by the way we live every one of our relationships, our lives and our relationships, and in particular in our marriage and our home and family, because God says, not only is that where I started it, but that's where the love and the leadership is going to come in my church. I don't think we're doing a good job of that, generally speaking, in today's culture. So that's why we want to continue with some of these tips. I've called it this, foundational biblical tips for navigating marriage. All right? I know that's a mouthful, but it captures it, okay? Now, as I just stated, we have laid out what God's Word says regarding building our relationships, all of them, as His disciples and under His Lordship. We've applied them specifically to marriage with the commands and the keys. So we've got foundations, commands, and keys that enable us to build marriages that are blessed and bless our families and His church. Again, previous posts, articles, blogs, and what is it, podcasts? Yeah, podcasts and videos are at the website, loveandlordship.com. There are volumes, even libraries of books that address most of the how-tos in marriage or relationships. The purpose of this podcast, the purpose of this video, the purpose of our articles, and the purpose of the book, The Authority of Love, is to help us make sure that our hearts and minds are aligned with Christ. You see, what I found is so many couples and men that I will sit with or come up to me after a conference or a retreat or a series, and they will go, "This makes all the sense in the world. Why are we not taught this first? Why are we not taught what it really means to walk with Christ as Lord, to love Him with all we are before we jump into doing it with everybody else? Because this looks better. This is faster. We can do it." Discipleship and literally disciple making and church planning really doesn't work when you pour a lot of money into it and find charismatic people that just simply say, "How much bigger can we get? How quickly can we get there?" And look at the momentum, because we've not done the disciple making. And then, as one research showed, the depth to which you draw them in of your message is the deepest you'll ever go. Why? Because you knew that up front. If I go that deep, a lot of people won't come back. So I'll go this deep, they'll come, and then, oh, I got to stay there to keep drawing them in and keep them here. I can't go any deeper. And Jesus did exactly the opposite. He was patient. He started small. He took his time and built into those disciples, and then he eventually sent them out. And those same principles apply in relationships and marriage and family. That's why not only does the love begin there in building relationships, but the servant leadership begins there. And we're going to talk about that specific how-to tip today, actually foundational tip today. Now, I know you desire to honor God, or you wouldn't be listening or reading or watching. So with that understanding, let's take a look at a foundational scriptural principle. We've talked about it before, but we're going to apply it specifically to marriage. And it will reveal and or help us deal with some of the underlying and prevalent issues and problems that arise in marriage. Using those foundations and commands and keys that you can find in the other articles and posts, we can apply God's word and begin to see how that changes. He and his word changes our hearts and guides us through these foundations and commands and keys. All right? Tip number one. That's all we're going to do today, okay? Because I guarantee you, it'll blow your mind and you'll go, oh, wait a minute, I got a lot of work to do. I know I do, okay? I hate to say that, but we all do, okay? And when you hear it, you're going to go, oh, okay, yeah, makes sense. Tip number one. Here we go. What does authority look like in marriage? Now, we've talked about Christ's authority and him giving us authority to make disciples and how authority is supposed to be lived out. So does it change when we're at the office? Does it change when we're in church? Does it change for government or education or sports teams or any vocation? No, and even more importantly, his definition and modeling of authority doesn't change in the home, in the marriage, in the family. Here's what I mean by that. Having already discussed that, I'm going to give you all these foundations. I'm going to give you a couple of acronyms, okay? You know what an acronym is, right? We're going to spell a word out, the first letter of each of these words. And it's interesting. I think I've got copyright on this because I've never seen it anywhere else. I look for it. You can find anything on except salvation on, and you can actually figure that out, but you can find anything but salvation online, right? But you can find what will point you there. That's a side note. I'll throw that in for free, okay? These acronyms will help you remember and I hope understand and apply what it means to, according to God's word and Christ's teaching and example, how to wear the pants. There's the acronym, P-A-N-T-S, how to wear the pants in your marriage, all right? Now, everybody knows what it means when we say, well, ask the question, who wears the pants in that marriage? Yeah, or make the comment, well, we all know who wears the pants in that marriage. But if you don't, I'm just going to explain that really simply for you. It literally means, oh, the husband rules with an iron fist and is domineering and demanding to that little woman and that family, and they all stay in line, but none of them can stand him, okay? Or the wife is manipulative and coercive to get her way, and if she doesn't get her way, nobody's happy. That's literally what, when we say that, we know that's what we're saying. Ah, we know who wears the pants in that marriage or family. We all know it, whichever one we're talking about. To whatever degree these have become evident, we see it as an answer to that question or a confirmation of that statement. Who's wearing the pants? Neither of those, the domineering, demanding husband or the manipulative, coercive wife, is biblical. That's not authority. We're doing it to get our way, but we're not really an authority according to God's word. So let's look, this biblical foundational tip, number one, let's look at these acronyms. I'm going to give you two pair of pants, and they're actually the same pair. But what we get confused in is we really like to wear the first one because it's the way the world sees it, but the second one is actually the one that makes the difference because it is according to God's word and in line with Christ, again, teaching and modeling. Who wears them in your marriage? The pants. Listen to this acronym. Proper authority needed to succeed. P-A-N-T-S. Proper authority needed to succeed. Oh, sign me up. Give me that. I want that in my marriage family. Well, I'm going to give it to you right now because we got a second pair. all right? But it's actually the same pair, and this one is actually the one you have to put on in order to have the first one. Proper attitude needed to serve. Did you catch the acronym again? Proper attitude needed to serve. That's the pair of pants that makes all the difference. If you want to know how to wear the right pair of pants in your marriage, put that one on. Proper attitude needed to serve. We know that from even Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5, essentially says, you should have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, that of humility. That's what we're called to. That's what a Christ follower learns to do by following Him, which is where we miss it. We don't spend time teaching people how to truly follow Him and love Him, but then we tell them to go love and lead the world. Can't do it. I'm sorry. Remember, you are not truly wearing the first pair, proper authority needed to succeed, if you're not wearing the second pair. Don't wear them both at the same time. Choose the second and you'll have the first, okay? That might, unless you got like MC Hammer pants. I know that's an old reference, but you could wear them if you have that. Proper attitude needed to serve. Here's where we get that. Very simply, it's not just from what Jesus taught. It's how He modeled it. In Matthew 20, 20 through 23, the apostles came and said, well, James and John sent their mom. Remember, we talked about this months ago. Mommy, go ask Jesus if we can sit and rule with Him when He comes in His kingdom. See, they were doing authority and ruling and lording over the same way the world did it. Jesus pointed that out plainly. And then the other 10 got ticked off. Remember our good old English word, indignant, from the King James? Just means ticked off. Because they didn't think of it first. They were all clamoring for the positions of rule over. All right? And Jesus said, you're upside down. Literally, if you want to be first, you be last. If you want to be the greatest, you serve. You be the servant. Now, He said, you're not only practicing authority, but you're in authority because the Son of Man, who is all authority, did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. Now, my question to you, when you put on those pair of the pants, one of them, which one are you really putting on? Are you loving it, especially you men, as what we're called to be the head of our marriage, our wife, and our home? Are you putting on the first and saying, I'm the authority, so do what I say? Or are you putting on the second and taking the attitude of Christ and saying, I'm here to serve? Then you're in authority. Doesn't matter how they respond. I can promise you this, though, if you'll be faithful in it, He will be faithful too. And it will bless your marriage, and it will bless your children and your family. And I believe then we will have men and leaders and couples who will also be able to do it the same way in the church and do it the same way in their office, even when other people abuse it and take advantage of it. And they will. But we still, in faith, remain in God's kind of authority, Christ's modeling of authority, modeling. Good segue there, right? John 13, 1 through 3, Jesus showed them the full extent of His love. He knew He was from God, was returning to God, and God had placed all things back in His hands. There's authority for you, but it's also humility. He knew who He was. So He takes off His robe, puts on the towel, kneels down and washes feet. He gets up and says, do you know what I've done? I have set an example for you. You call Me authority, teacher, Lord, rabbi, master. You call Me the authority, and you're right, I am. If you want to have that kind of authority, then put on the second pair of pants. Do like I have done. Have the proper attitude, Philippians 2 again, the same attitude that was in Christ. Put on that pair of pants, and then you will not only serve others, but they will invite you to have influence in their lives. That's all Jesus did. Everything He did was done that way. And He calls us to that same kind of love and humility and servant's heart so we can practice that kind of loving authority. And others will get to know Him because of it, not necessarily us. I want to close by reminding you of this. This is the only essence of authority, but it is done in true humility and love as well. You, your marriage, your spouse, your family, all your relationships, including Christ's church, will be blessed if we follow His example. It's what He said. If you want to have this kind of authority, go live out that humble kind of servant heart's love. And you will be blessed if you do what I've done. And He said, I'm the authority. Okay? I want to remind you of the intricate connection, I've said it at the beginning and a couple of times throughout, between discipleship and relationships. See, if I don't learn what it means to submit to His authority, to be His disciple and make Him Lord, how am I going to die to myself to serve others that way? I may do it for a while, but eventually if I'm not getting something out of it, I'm not seeing results, if they're not thankful and grateful that I'm impacting their life, I will get fed up with it because I'm doing it in the flesh. But when I do it His way by surrendering and dying to Him for His sake, then that comes through when I do it for others, starting with my wife and my marriage and my children and family, and then out to others. I just got yesterday, one of the young men that I mentor, and he started telling me, we were both so excited, he started telling me, he said, Greg, you've been telling me this for years, but he said, I'm beginning to understand that if I go into the workplace or into the church and make this all look really good, and then I come in and try and make it look good, but I'm trying to get something from my wife, maybe sex or just some time or whatever it may be, usually sex, okay? But if I'm trying to do that, she knows it. And I said, oh, yes, she knows it. God gave them an innate sense of intuition that you and I don't have as much. And so she's going to know that even if you're going through the motions and doing all these little servant things, but if your heart is still really set on what you get out of it, she's going to know that. And so she feels like just an object. But he said, when I've begun to let go of that and start doing, he said, you told me this hundreds of times. When I start doing this first in with the Lord and with my wife and in my family, she knows that as well. And we become closer. And then I start doing the same thing supernaturally, so to speak, in the workplace, in the church. And I said, you just described what I've said thousands of times. We get the cart before the horse. That's why this is so important to understand how we do discipleship for Him first and then let it flow through us to others. That's not only what honors God, but it guides us to love and lead as Christ did. And there's great blessing in that. You see, agape or godly, loving marriages or families or relationships of any kind for that matter, the church, don't just happen. I've asked this before. How many of you were born selfless? Not me. How many of you are born selfish? That's what he means when he says, take up your cross and die to yourself. That's what I have to die to so that his new nature can take over. You see, relationships don't happen naturally because we're all selfish. But in Christ, they must be worked at and developed with a humble heart that places others above self and desires to serve. Then we can love and lead just like Jesus did. Now, excuse me, I've got four action items, and then I'm going to go back to the example of one of the mentees that I've been with recently and share a little bit very encouraging word about that. Let me give you the four action items here. Number one, again, I'm going to keep hitting until you're sick of it or at least do it. I hope that's the second one. In your study and quiet time with the Lord, did you catch that? In your study and quiet time with the Lord, we're not getting anywhere if we don't start there, folks. Ask Him to reveal how you perceive and live out authority, especially in your home as it applies. And if not, well, you've learned it from Christ and how you can apply it in your other relationships. Okay? Number two, as He reveals these things to you, and He will likely use your spouse and family to reveal to do so, what your type of authority looks like, and most of the time it's lording over. I'm sorry, that's just what we do naturally. As He reveals that to you, ask Him to show you how you can begin to respond and act differently. Lord, what can I do differently in line with Your Word and Christ's example to show that I truly am loving and leading Your way? Number three, ask Him to help you change your attitudes and actions of lording it over others and what you need to do to make those changes. First of all, you ask Him to show what it looks like, how you've been doing it. Secondly, to reveal how you can change it. Third, how will you actually change it? What will you do to change it? I promise you, you're going to have to eat some crow and don't swallow your pride. Get rid of it. Throw it up. Spit it out. Because it will persist. The enemy will see to it as much as you have of that flesh that's left, he's going to use it. But the more you seek the Lord and walk in His Spirit, when that battle, the Spirit wins. Because Paul said, You got the spirit now, so the flesh is going to come warring against it, and the spirit's going to war back. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to feed? And then number four, follow through with thoughts and actions that will bring about those changes. Check occasionally with your spouse and children. This may be the toughest part of it. Check occasionally with your spouse and children, as applicable if you're married and you have children, to gauge, ask them how you're doing. That will not be easy at first, but I promise you, you keep doing it, not only will you be blessed, you'll get very encouraging responses from them, because they will know the difference, as my friend yesterday attested to. All right? Now again, full article here is at www.loveandlordship.com, and don't forget to check out the conference links and website registration in the comments afterwards. We'd love for you to join us. If you can't come out to St. Louis area in person, plenty of opportunity online. Transition a little bit here to my interaction with my friend again here. It's not too long, so it won't keep you much longer, but we'd been through a lot of things. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. And man, he was growing, but he was still struggling. And he'd shared with me some things that were going on. And he finally just asked this question with all the things that he had been through, and he'd fallen a couple times. Remember Proverbs, a righteous man falls seven times, but gets up again. That's the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And so we kept talking about this, and he said, and he just got into his wit's end and his own fleshly end. And of course, the enemy was using that to get him to think apart from God's word and the Spirit. And he just said, in kind of frustration, where do I go from here? I said, it's a great question. Let me help you with that. Look back through all the scriptures. Yesterday, I had a guy doing this. He took 2.5 pages of notes during our mentoring time. And you know what? He said, you know, not only is that, but not only am I growing, but I'm using this to help other people grow. That's the prayer. Disciples making disciples who make disciples for Jesus Christ. So I told this other guy, I said, look back through the scriptures we've talked about, the principle we've talked about, and get rid of, and by the way, all the struggles that you've expressed, because we're seeing the struggles and then we're responding in the Word. Look at both the struggles and the response according to God's Word. Begin clearly by thinking, I'm going to intentionally get rid of those things that don't belong. But I can't do that if I don't stop and take them captive and then go back to God's Word in Christ and align them with that and go, I've got a choice now. If I don't ever think of God's Word, I'll just keep getting defeated by my own thoughts in the flesh. So think those through, go back to the Word and compare those, and then begin to choose and think differently, because that's what the Word will lead you to do. By that I mean begin to act and live differently according to God's Word. And then I added this, no matter what it costs. Let me say that again. You think through the struggles, you realign your thinking with God's Word, and it will tell you what to do, but it won't be easy. So you choose that no matter what it costs. All right? Or how many times you have to continue to go back and battle this, because no matter how many times you do that, God is faithful. I said, seriously take each of those scriptures that I've sent you and that we've talked through and pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you how to overcome what the flesh is doing and begin to walk in the Spirit and the Word in Christ's authority. That's, you have to do it every time. I know we don't like to hear that, but that's why we call it discipleship. That's why we talk about being born selfish. If I do the natural thing, I'll keep going back and trying to figure it out in the carnal world, in the fleshly world. But our weapons are greater and stronger than that. They are the Word and the Spirit and the authority of Christ. Those will never fail if I will avail myself of them and choose them and then act on them. So I said to him again, when the Holy Spirit teaches you and what it means and how to apply it to your life, you can count on the Lord helping you, even when you stumble, because He is faithful. One of my favorites, Dr. Tony Evans, you've heard me quote him before, says this, faith is simply acting like God is telling the truth. Let me say that again, because it just sums up what I just said. Maybe I should have just said that in the beginning, okay? Faith is simply acting like God is telling the truth. But if you don't know or seek out or avail yourself of that truth, where else are you going to go? But if you know it's there, even when you're struggling, you can come back to that and go, oh, I've got a different way that I can think and respond and act. God's truth, God's word, Christ, gives me a different path. Now I've got to choose it. That's the difference. And then I just ask him, are you going to act on your thoughts, emotions, and senses that almost always mislead us? And the enemy makes sure of that because they're natural. Or are you going to stop and consider his truth and then act on that? He will be there if you just ask. Don't give up, I said to him, just because you've struggled once again in your flesh. God has great things in store as you turn to him and overcome in Christ, in his word, and his spirit. That's a promise. I didn't say what happened immediately. I said as you become more and more of a disciple and walk through that process, he has already overcome and he will walk you in that overcoming, through that overcoming. Think about this. I said to him to close, if you have to battle this and these issues for the rest of your life and you choose to do so in his strength, you will continue to grow stronger and he will continue to prune, shape, and use you for his kingdom and glory as you have been given that by his grace, truth, and love in Christ. And that's Revelation 2:10. If you overcome, you got a crown of life. He's done everything to give you that. Now he says, you take that. And not only that, I will help you walk it out, but I will not force you to. You have to choose me and my word and my truth. Don't forget, you can get online, loveandlordship.com. Check out the comments for the registration of the conference and of some of the scriptures and the points, the pair of pants. I got the pair of pants in there too, okay? Which one are you going to wear? Only one really matters, but it actually gives you the other one, all right? Thank you for your continued prayers and support. Obviously, we're a ministry, and we continue to need that, but we're so thankful for what God has provided. And I'm going to tell you every single week, ask the Lord where he wants you to give and be faithful to follow through on that. If it's us and if the Lord, you know the Lord's using that and touching you, or you know it can be used to touch others, help us out with your prayers and financial support. But if it's, you can listen all you want. It could be helping you, but God may be telling you to give somewhere else. Follow through. Follow through and listen to him and be willing to do it because he will bless you. I promise you that. Do it with a cheerful heart and he will bless you. You can contact me at 859-229-6504, 859-229-6504, or at loveandlordship@gmail.com. And I'll answer your questions or take your comments, whatever you'd like to do. Love to meet with you. Hope to see you at the conference one way or the other, okay? Love and Lordship is here to help you live joyfully and have healthy and fulfilling lives and relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't charge for any of it, so please contact us. And we'd love to get to know you. We desire to make disciples. You've heard this today. Who make disciples in the love and lordship of Christ in every home and in every church. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for prayers. Thank you always to the Lord. Have a great day and God bless in Christ.